all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 31st, 2024. We have made it to the end of July. And it's a beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, through social media, by podcast. We appreciate you taking us along and getting your day going. I got a question for you. That's Simone Biles. She's pretty good, ain't she? Not bad. She and the rest of the U.S. gymnasts who took the gold yesterday in Paris in the Olympics team gymnastics competition. We'll chat about that in the more about the Olympics later on. This morning, we have our climate check report with Melissa Baldoff. We will talk about twisters and twisters, the tornadoes and the movie. We are seeing a lot more tornadoes than usual in Wisconsin this year. We'll talk about the ways that a changing climate could be responsible, and also whether Hollywood is acknowledging that in this summer's big blockbuster. Also, Kamala Harris held a rally in Atlanta, Georgia last night with 10,000 of her closest friends and supporters. If I'm not mistaken, I think Roger's already Greg weighing in on this one. Greg Bach is down in Waukesha as well. And yes, Roger puts on Facebook, that crowd in Atlanta for the vice president last night was electric. Trump could not draw a crowd like that with a Sharpie. Very nice, Roger. We appreciate that very much this early.
That's a very good joke. That's very, very good play on words.
Yes. Got your Brewers jersey again. Look at you.
Yeah.
Representing.
Yeah.
Are you heading to the game this afternoon or something?
No. Not today. I'm just feeling some Brew Crew love right now.
Okay. All right. Good deal. The Brewers do play this afternoon, by the way. It is a 1:10 game? Yep. So pregame at 12:35 on some Civic Media stations. Brewers came up short against Atlanta last night. But I mentioned the vice president. And meanwhile, Trump, who is not drawing crowds of 10,000 people, is also trying to disavow any knowledge, any support for Project 2025. Which is really tough to do when your running mate just wrote the foreword for a book about it. So we'll break that all down coming up in just a little bit here. We will also talk about the Wisconsin Public Education Network and their annual summer summit going on in Madison today. A lot of guest speakers, a lot of topical discussions about public education. So that's coming up, and Todd Albo will be joining us as he does on Wednesdays. And then I will be filling in for part of Todd's show coming up at noon today, because I think he may actually be playing a little baseball hooky today. So you get an extra hour of me if you can possibly stand that. If you'd like to reach the show at some point here, our number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call or text that number, or you can use the Civic Media app to call or text us, or you can put a comment like Roger did on one of our Facebook pages or on the Up North News YouTube page. And you're like, what do you mean Facebook pages? We're on the Facebook page for Up North News, the Facebook page for Civic Media, and the Facebook page for Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. So on any one of those Facebook pages, you can watch us put together this fine radio program as well. Brittany Merlot continues out ill this week, and we hope she has a speedy recovery and we can talk to her again real soon. But it's pretty easy. It's been a pretty easy forecast this week in this way. Very warm, very humid, very muggy. The part that hasn't been easy is to say when exactly it's going to rain, because we've had these pop-up thunder showers and thunderstorms, and that will continue to be a risk. A little less so here in western Wisconsin today, but then more so again tomorrow. And that humid weather is going to stick around at least for the next few days. So plan accordingly for that. Tomorrow, we're going to have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, and we will talk to Assembly candidate Sarah Harrison. And we will also talk to an organizer for a March for Democracy that's upcoming at the state capitol. And again, it really says something about the time that we're living in. Imagine if 10 years ago I told you that there would be these things called marches for democracy to protect democracy from threats. You'd think we were crazy. It was one of those things we took for granted for generations until we saw the era that we live in today. And here's where we are, marching to protect democracy from threats. Threats that are continue to be spelled out in things like Project 2025 that we're going to talk about in just a little bit here. But getting back, Greg, to the Olympics, I mean, it's funny how last night in many ways was kind of like, you know, the big, not the big finale, but it was like the big show mm-hmm. for gymnasts. There's still all the individual medals to mm-hmm. give out, but they're doing this, you know, they do the team competition. I don't remember it being this early in many Olympics. I thought this was one of the things that waited till later in the week. But regardless, they did it. The team was still having, you know, flashbacks to the Olympics 3 years ago, the, you know, the COVID disrupted Olympics and how things didn't go as well as they wanted to. I watched last night and it was, again, I'm not one to be critical. You know, there were little mistakes here and there, but clearly not enough to derail the American team toward victory. And it was just, it was nice to see that, especially for Simone Biles, given the, what did they call it 3 years ago? The twisties that she got. You know, in baseball, we'd call it the yips, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's a nice little redemption for her.
I mean, I think we talked about this yesterday on Matt and Air on Air, and I have all the love in the world for Simone Biles. I really, like, anyone who works in such an intense way of life, which is sports and you know, what she does, to say, you know what, I need to take a step back. I'm having mental health issues. I need to put myself forward. I have so much respect in the fact that she came back and she's like, yeah, let me do this now. I got it. And it's amazing. And she's wonderful. I'm here for it. I have become a fan of the Olympics, Pat. I watched table tennis last. I watched doubles table tennis between China and North Korea yesterday.
Doubles table tennis. Even I missed that one.
And
wow.
I think there's my only criticism of doubles table tennis is that I feel like the table should be a little bit bigger, because when you watch it,
you think they're playing on a postage stamp.
Yeah, it's just like they're just like right next to each other, and there's no more volleys last minute, like two or three, and then they're, you know, moving on. But I'm just like, this is amazing. Like they're so intense about it. Table tennis.
I always think it's worth noting that when it comes to sports, you know, fields, arenas, the pitch, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, that some of them seem to get it right, or they work their way toward getting it right. Look at baseball. It didn't start off exactly the way it was because there'd never been baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
But walls about 400 feet away, bases 90 feet away, the pitcher's mound 60 feet, 6 inches away. Mm-hmm. Those all seem just right.
Yeah.
Football, 100 yards, feels just about right. But like you said, that table tennis one feels too small. And again, I know the soccer fans will get upset with me. I think that field's too big. I mean, you're watching them run through the back 40 going, you know, can you pick some corn while you're out there? They're way out there. It's like, let's bring that one in a little bit. Maybe not too much. Remember for a time they tried indoor soccer on, like, you know, a carpeted ice hockey rink, you know?
I watched that once. It was awful.
Maybe that's a little too small. Kind of like the table tennis. So, you know, sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they need to make adjustments. I would adjust that table a little bit. Yes.
Yeah. When you watch regular tennis, the court is the way it is because it's designed whether you're going to play doubles or singles, and it's all mm-hmm. in one shot. And just do that. Make it a little wider. Make it a little bit longer. That way you have some room to move. But also, I'm not an Olympic athlete, so I should really just shut up.
Oh, no. I mean, look, we've got to watch it as well. And yeah. if it looks uncomfortable to watch,
yeah.
you know, I feel bad for the triathletes because, again, they had to wait for several days because the Seine, despite years of efforts, was still polluted to swim in for a few days. But I see they did finally pull off the swimming portion of the Olympic triathlon. So good on them. I didn't watch to see if they did any surfing last night. I know the night before, did you see how they had Colin Jost in Tahiti?
Yeah.
Which at first I had to kind of do one of these like what?
Yeah.
And then you realize that Tahiti is part of French Polynesia, mm-hmm. so they're like, hey, how about if we put the surfing in Tahiti? And Colin Jost gets the assignment. Is that guy not one of the luckiest people around?
The man definitely, I would say, walks through the raindrops of life.
He does.
And
he,
he walks between the raindrops of life. Yes. There you go. That's much better.
So, I mean, good on him. And I'm sure some of these triathletes were like, well, we could have gone to Tahiti too. Yeah. You know, I could swim there. I could ride a bike on Tahiti. Yeah. You know? But they didn't get that chance. But yeah, you know, the gymnastics will be all of this week. Track and field will take up all of next week. And there was a lot of the indoor swimming going on. And I watched one particular race that stuck out to me last night was the 100-meter backstroke for the women. And I forget the American woman's name. I think Smith was her last name, and came up just short of a gold medal. And I think the Australian who defeated her. I mean, the power that you have to be able to put on at the end of an exhausting mm-hmm. race like that. I remember seeing that in the mountain biking as well, how anybody keeps anything left in the tank, you know, to put on at the very end. I mean, I really tip my cap to anybody that trains in that way, that they can do that.
And what I didn't know until I watched the opening ceremony is how deep of a competition there's between America and Australia when it comes to swimming. Like, they're like, oh, when we're not in the pool, we love each other. But when we're there, we want to kill each other. I'm like, oh, all right. Okay. You know, it's swimming, right? We're fine.
It is an intense competition. Roger also tells us that Wausau had one of those pop-up thunderstorms last night, canceled the Night Ranger concert at Wisconsin Valley Fair. So,
motoring. Darn.
I was going to say, did they play Sister Christian? Because then you didn't miss anything. I like all other Night Ranger. But whenever I hear that, what's the song by Starship, We Built This City?
Yeah.
My response is always when people say, oh, that was judged the worst song that was ever made. I'm like, really? Is Sister Christian still a thing? Because that, you know, then we've got a new nominee. But everything else was good. Night Ranger, I hope you come back. Yeah. Play real soon. Short set list. Just cut the one song. We'll tell you more about the Brewers playing Atlanta last night and then again this afternoon. And we will unpack some more of the news as we get rolling on this Wednesday morning on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota across the Civic Media Radio Network. Today's history lesson is coming up in about 30 minutes, but we can tell you that Orleans released this little tune, Still the One, on this day in 1976. And then it stuck around forever because ABC grabbed it as their, remember when all those promos they ran in the late 70s, and then their thing was Still the One. We're still the one you watch. ABC was so big back in the day, and then so was not.
Also, Pat, I don't remember. I was two.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't expect you to. When I say remember, I'm talking to the other elders that are out there.
Oh, I see.
Roger now responding that Sister Christian was the hot song when they graduated 40 years ago, and that the reunion for Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School is in 9 days.
Oh, wow.
So have a wonderful reunion. But it is also a classic 80s song, and there were so many songs like this that they kind of have this bit of a slow start. And so some people actually tried to go out onto the dance floor. But then, of course, you know, it starts, and then the drums come, dun, 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 motor in, and people are standing on the dance floor going, are we supposed to dance to this part now? And it's awkward, and they go back to their table. And like I said, there are many songs like that, but I have fun watching sometimes, like, oh, no, don't go out on the floor to that one. Oh, you look awkward now. Oh,
you've never heard Sister Christian? You don't know what's about to happen?
I guess they hear the slow parts and go, oh, let's go dance to that. No, let's not. But from what I understand now, the kids, they don't go out dancing anyway. Are there any dance floors out there anymore? I go to some of the places we used to hang out. They've long since taken the dance floors out.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say, because like when you're growing up in your teens and your 20s, like, let's go out dancing. Mm-hmm. That was just the thing. Yeah. Like when you were a kid, you said, let's go play. And dancing just meant you go dancing. And now I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say that. Interesting.
I don't either. Huh. I mean, if George Michael were here and saying, you know, wake me up before you go, would they know we're talking about taking me dancing tonight? No, probably wouldn't. Kids, you don't know what you're missing. All right, let's get to unpacking some of the news here. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Atlanta yesterday, but before that rally came a big announcement, and Wisconsin plays a role in it. The vice president's campaign putting out a statement saying that the presumptive Democratic nominee will shortly announce her running mate, and that she and her running mate will make their first appearance in Philadelphia at a rally next Tuesday, and then will hit several locations over the next 4 days. And all it said on there was, including Western Wisconsin. So again, Wisconsin, a very high priority. I saw that, Greg, when I was sitting on the couch watching the Olympics, and as usual, I spent a little too much time at my desk, and I said, okay, I'm done now. Now I'm just going to sit, and I'm going to watch the Olympics, and I'm all done, you know, with trying to come up with, you know, guests and stories and things. And then up comes this note from Politico, breaking the story, where it says that Harris says she and her running mate will barnstorm cities in 7 swing states over 4 days, hitting Detroit, Raleigh, Savannah, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Western Wisconsin. And I just kind of hung my head. I said, sure, I got to go back to my desk. I have to go get the word out about this.
This is why you shouldn't buy a big screen. You're talking about buying a bigger monitor for yourself, because what's going to happen, you're going to be watching television, then you're going to turn it off, go right back to work, and be sitting in the same place the entire time.
Basically. Yeah. Yes. But of course, right away, the speculation was like, well, wait, if she says her first rally is on Tuesday in Philadelphia, is she tipping her hand? Does this mean it's going to be Josh Shapiro? Which I think that's too obvious. Again, what's the thing? Occam's razor. Sometimes it is the thing that seems most likely.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess no. I think that Philly is, it's a great place to start a rally, you know, the birthplace of liberty and everything else, swing state. But it could just as easily be, you know, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. It could be Mark Kelly from Arizona, because she's going to all those places that are swing states, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. All those states are in play. So Harris was in Atlanta last night and made sure that she called out Donald Trump for him saying that he might not debate her this fall. And basically in the exact words saying, you know, you've had a lot to say about me. Come say it to my face, which is about the most Gen X thing a presidential candidate could ever say.
Yeah.
Now that we have a Gen X presidential candidate. But I also appreciated that when she got to talking about the border and Republicans are trying to hit her on the border, you know, she made clear she understands who tanked the border bill. And she also understands that inflation wasn't the result of things the Biden administration had done, but has some more corporate roots. Here's Kamala Harris talking in Atlanta about what she would do about economic issues for middle-class families.
On day one, I will take on price gouging and bring down costs. We will ban more of those hidden fees and surprise late charges that banks and other companies use to pad their profits. We will take on corporate landlords and cap unfair rent increases. And we will take on Big Pharma to cap prescription drug costs for all Americans. Our plan will lower costs and save many middle-class families thousands of dollars a year. But Donald Trump has a different plan in mind, one that would raise prices on middle-class families.
And the point Harris is going to make about that is that Donald Trump talks all the time about tariffs because he's got this very xenophobic, jingoistic plan that we're just going to go after those people, whether it's immigrants or foreign countries. But tariffs don't punish other countries. Tariffs raise prices on Americans when they go to buy these things at the store. Harris also is not taking any of the criticism about, you know, her role in helping with border security, because as she mentions here, there was a bill ready to do it, and we know who killed it.
So here is my pledge to you. As president, I will bring back the border security bill that Donald Trump killed, and I will sign it into law. Trump what real leadership looks like.
And that's exactly what it is. It's about showing leadership. There were a lot of compromises made for that bill. Meanwhile, the director of Project 2025, the right-wing policy blueprint for the next Republican president, is leaving after there was so much criticism about it that even former President Trump has had to pretend to be critical of it. But that's very tough for him to do, given that the director of Project 2025 has written a book, and the foreword of the book that's coming out shortly was written by J.D. Vance, his running mate, Trump's running mate, who wrote in the foreword, it's, quote, "time to circle the wagons and load the muskets." And he describes the ideas as an essential weapon in the fights that lie ahead, and said Project 2025 basically is about the roots of Trump, or it's the de facto institutional home of Trumpism. Project 2025 ain't going nowhere. Melissa Baldoff is next. You're up north. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on what has been a sultry week so far in Wisconsin. One of the places where you could escape the heat is the box office. You go to your local theater, you could see the, I don't know if it's a reboot of Twister, now called Twisters or what, but, you know, you don't have to go to the theater for that. We've had more than our share in Wisconsin already, and Melissa Baldoff is here with our weekly climate check to talk a bit more about weather versus climate and where the two are intersecting in a not-so-good way. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well because of the 42 tornadoes reported in the state so far this year. You know, none have come close to Lake Wasota, but, you know, some of them have been in the general vicinity, and that's always a little bit unnerving. You know, we are familiar growing up with Tornado Alley being described as, you know, parts of Kansas and Oklahoma and Nebraska, but it is more than fair to ask if Tornado Alley is going to be moving because of the way our climate has been changing. And there have been some recent reports about that in some news sources. What have you been looking at and reading, and what is it we think we're learning about the effect of climate, of a changing climate, on tornadoes in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, so what we're seeing and what, you know, meteorologists are talking about, scientists, other scientists too are talking about is, you know, we know that climate change is having an impact on all different kinds of weather, and we're seeing tornadoes and tornado season look different. You know, we had a tornado in February of this year.
Oh, that's right.
And, you know, they might be starting earlier. They're touching down more often. You know, we had one very near us in Milwaukee recently. You know, there is, you know, some speculation that that the trend could be that Tornado Alley could expand north and east and include Wisconsin. And that would be a shift that would be, you know, very, very devastating for our state. It's already been a very unusually active season in Wisconsin. So that would be quite the shift in our state to to start seeing so much more activity, and especially the fact that we're seeing it earlier and earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially earlier and then again more often, because again, our Wisconsin average is 23, and we're well above that once again already this year. Now, again, when you have climate, which is, you know, the long-term changes in our environment, it's a little tough to measure that year by year by year. But between where the jet stream has been compared to what it used to be, and also you've got, you know, more, you've got warmer, more humid air near the Earth's surface, these are things that some meteorologists and other scientists say can help lead to the conditions that could create more tornadoes. And this shouldn't be a big surprise, Melissa, because one of the things that we have been hearing for years is that as a result of a warming planet, it has also exacerbated weather extremes, right? I mean, we basically had kind of drought conditions last year. This year we've got things, you know, wetter than in a long time, and, you know, flash floods seem to be more frequent and more extreme. So, I mean, there's certainly reason to believe tornado activity could factor into this equation as well.
Yeah, it certainly could. But, you know, what the scientists say is that tornado trends are really hard to measure. So like you said, it can be kind of all over the place. So last year, we only had 21 tornadoes, 28 of them in 2022, 41 in 2021, according to the National Weather Service data. So it can be really difficult. It could be so unpredictable. You just don't know what to expect. So, you know, that's something that can be really difficult to know what's coming. But we know that we are getting that more extreme weather, and the conditions are there that we could have those extreme conditions that are making more tornadoes, more dangerous ones happening all the time. We're already seeing, extreme heat. We had just earlier this week, we had the four hottest days in recorded history on planet Earth. So we are seeing all of this extreme weather, and it's very unpredictable. And, you know, that kind of, take a moment to go back to something that we talked about, I believe last week or maybe the week before, when we talked about one of the dangers in a future Donald Trump presidency is them wanting to eliminate the ability to notify people about these extreme weather conditions. They want to roll back, funding and the ability for NOAA to notify people. So, you know, that's all the more reason to be, you know, mindful of, you know, what is happening in the world when what we do know about extreme weather is that it's unpredictable. Just because we are having a very overactive tornado season this year doesn't mean we will next year. But then, you know, it could be late next year, or it could be, you know, a very overactive one again. You just don't know.
One of the things we seem to know is that the season itself has expanded. And we first really noticed that with hurricanes that we were getting. And again, this year, we got our first F5 hurricane earlier than ever. And hurricane season doesn't fit into a neat, tidy box anymore. And like we said, we're now seeing tornadoes in the winter months here in Wisconsin. So the potential has certainly gone up, although you will have those yearly fluctuations. But to come back to what you said about a second Trump term and Project 2025. And yes, I know about the statement that the campaign put out Tuesday saying, you know, as far as they're concerned, Project 2025 is dead. Yeah, I'm not going to really believe that. I'm going to tell you what the document says by all of these folks who have worked for Donald Trump and for all these conservative groups. Their document says very starkly, it just says about the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, the parent company of the National Weather Service, or the parent agency, it says just these words, break up NOAA, which would include the 154-year-old National Weather Service. The document says in Project 2025, together, these form a colossal operation that has become one of the main drivers of the climate change alarm industry, and as such, is harmful to future U.S. prosperity. I mean, there, can you come up with anything that sounds more like cartoon villains writing something that says, well, we need to get rid of the people warning us about severe weather because that's getting in the way of us making money? It's crass beyond measure. And I'm still sometimes dumbfounded, Melissa, that they actually put it in writing, but that's how full of their oats they are right now.
I think that Vice President Harris said that very well when she said she couldn't believe they put it in writing. And then you've got J.D. Vance, you know, endorsing, you know, the book that these guys are writing. So, you know, I don't believe for a second that Donald Trump would back away from these ideas. Maybe he'll erase Project 2025 and write a different name on it. But I don't.
With a Sharpie, like he's drawing on a hurricane map.
I don't believe for a second that he would. I would say more likely a crayon, but I don't believe for a second he would back away from the ideas that are here, these extreme ideas, especially when it comes to ideas that are tied to his ability to personally profit from the oil and gas industry. I don't buy for a second that he would be backing away from these ideas.
No, of course not. The plan goes on to state that they believe that private companies, they use AccuWeather as an example, are more accurate than the National Weather Service. I would, again, really doubt that. So it would recommend that the National Weather Service either fully commercialize its forecasting operations, in other words, charge you and me to learn what the weather forecast is, or enter into partnerships to sell their data. I mean, it's just, it always comes back to a profit motive with these guys and running government like a business, which is always the wrong point of view anyway. But again, it's, they can try to say, well, we don't really mean that, it wouldn't really happen, but these are the same folks that said, you know, Roe v. Wade would never be overturned. And Donald Trump has always said, we're not going to touch Medicare. And yet every one of his budgets when he was president recommended cuts to Medicare or Social Security. So There's, I would trust the forecasters more than I would trust the words of Donald Trump and the people who wrote these things in Project 2025.
Absolutely. When it comes to keeping people informed about what's happening with the climate, what's happening with the weather, I am going to trust the scientists here and, you know, give them what they need to keep us safe, to keep us informed, and, you know, let the people know what's going on and how we can stay safe.
We will close on a note then about the Hollywood depiction of all this. And there have definitely been Hollywood blockbusters that, you know, nod toward a changing climate. When you talk about everything from twisters to hurricanes to a new ice age, whatever the case may be. Now, I have not seen the new movie Twisters yet. You have not seen it yet. But somebody who has put an op-ed in the New York Times, and they were very unhappy, apparently, that the producers didn't give even the tiniest nod to the chief driver of extreme weather. So we know this much. Apparently, Twisters can't be blasted by Trump and Republicans as woke, but I think it can still, based on that first movie, I still think it's going to scare the bejesus out of me and get more people wondering if these things aren't going to get more extreme and take up more space on the calendar year after year, as long as we don't do anything about this.
Yeah, I think that's true. So I will say, Joe did see the movie. He really enjoyed it. He is a big, huge fan of Glenn Powell. And he just thought it was a very fun movie. And I asked him prior to seeing this op-ed, I did ask him if climate change was addressed in the movie. And he said it was not. And I was disappointed to hear that. I was hopeful that they would take the opportunity to, you know, to mention it. I think that's a great opportunity to address the issue in a way that, you know, everyone can relate to, and, you know, just use it as a way to introduce it to people. You know, we talked a while back about Rewiring America's initiative to connect, you know, creatives in the, you know, Hollywood industry, and use that as an opportunity to connect with people in their everyday lives, and, you know, use it to, you know, introduce electric vehicles to people by putting them on TV shows and electric appliances on TV shows. And it's like, you know, why not use, you know, that medium to introduce this topic to people? So I was disappointed to hear that it wasn't mentioned at all, but, you know, still glad to know that there are some fun movies out there and ways for people to escape the very, very warm weather.
Escape the warm weather, but not escape the potential danger that is always out there. But I will close, of course, by saying what Sherry and I have always said over here. When people asked when we lived, you know, in the Caribbean, where they have, you know, hurricanes and things, and they say, well, have you ever thought of living in California, or even visiting? And we've always said no, because you know, if a hurricane is coming, even with a tornado, you know there's going to be severe weather. An earthquake, not so much. So I'm going to take my chances here in the Midwest.
That's right.
And that's where we'll wrap things up for Climate Check this week. Melissa Baldoff, again, you stay away from all the severe weather there. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good.
We will be back with more in just a moment here up north. As a kid growing up in St. Paul, I would hear that song on the radio by Lobo and wonder, where were these wheat fields of which you speak in St. Paul? But apparently Lobo, Tallahassee, Florida-born Roland Lavoie, who went by the name Lobo, figured there were wheat fields nearby in his big hit, Me and You and a Dog Named Boo. Lobo is 81 years old today. As part of today's history lesson, we are joined by Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
You look tan, rested, and ready. Like you were. did you take some time off?
I did. I had a couple of days off and enjoyed some time with family and friends. And yeah, now I need a vacation for my vacation.
Of course you do. Yeah, a little camping going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Camping with family.
And what did you say was the measure of a good family camping vacation?
Nobody called the cops on us this year.
That is the most Wisconsin thing we can say about a family vacation together. Well, we didn't have to call the cops this time, so.
Well, there's close to like 50 of us. So, ooh. I mean, we're a big group.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm glad it was fun. So, then this is an annual thing, not a one-time thing. Obviously, you've got the routine down. Mm-hmm. So good for you. I like that. So when I ask, what's new at locally grown radio, you can honestly say,
Nobody called the cops. No, I have no idea what's going on at the station. I haven't seen anybody. Nobody's talking to me.
I feel
left out of the loop.
I'm glad we're your first stop for getting back into the swing of things here.
Yes.
All right, let's see. Are you familiar with, you heard of the old rock and roll group Gary Lewis and the Playboys?
Yes.
Okay. We'll play one of their big hits from Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Gary Lewis is 79 years old today. So here's our little trivia here. Gary Lewis, he's 79 today. He was born Cary Levitch, but his name was changed as a two-year-old when his dad changed his name from Joseph Levitch to Jerry Lewis. the legendary comedic actor, Gary Lewis, the son of Jerry Lewis. Oh. And yeah, he is 79 today, and this diamond ring was one of their big hits.
That was a great story, Pat. Just weaved
Thank
through
you.
It and just like, oh, there you go. Okay, all right.
I have no idea if any of it was true, but you know, when you look on Song Facts, you find all kinds of little snippets, and you hope for the best. Let's see. So he's 79. Mark Cuban is 66. Wesley Snipes is 62 today. Zach Brown is 46. And actor B.J. Novak, 45, from The Office. Fatboy Slim is 61 years old today. I honestly, till last night, didn't know it was an actual song that was released. I just thought it was something you heard in like every other commercial. Would like to play that one for you. But yeah,
it's Greg's interpretive dance to it.
He does. Nobody is better. James Taylor had the number one song this day in 1971.
Much different vibe.
Much Very. Different, yes. But not unwelcome.
No.
A nice reinterpretation of a Carole King classic. On this day in 1948, JFK Airport in New York was dedicated. Of course, it wasn't called JFK at the time because it was 1948. You know, nobody knew him from a hole in the ground. It was called Idlewild Field and then was later changed to JFK. S.S. Kresge, an American businessman, was born this day in 1867. I remember Kresge's department stores. Do you remember the other big department store chain founded by Mr. Kresge?
Yeah,
Sears? It's a trick. Close. Think of the K in his name. Kmart was where he started. So, yeah, founded by S.S. Kresge, born on this day. The number one album in the United States this day in 1976 was by George Benson.
Yeah.
Again, much like Right Here, Right Now, heard much more as like bumper music than anybody that bought the album. But it was the number one album back in 1976, and it also had his hit, This Masquerade, that we'll play a little bit later on. On this day in 1980, the Eagles split up. Now, some bands, when they break up, it just kind of, it happens over a long period, and you can't really nail down a date. You can definitely nail down a date when the Eagles first broke up in 1980, because it's all captured on film. If you've never seen the was it Showtime or Cinemax had the documentary, the definitive documentary about the Eagles? I think it was Showtime.
Yeah.
It's so good. And you're amazed that this band, which is on top of the world at the time, are starting to hate each other to the point where Glenn Frey and Don Felder were at a concert in 1980, a fundraiser for a California politician. And they nearly had a fist fight on stage and marched off stage. Words were spoken and they were broken up for the next 14 years. Much like the way I figured this show is going to go when Melissa just finally has enough and just calls us out and storms off.
Well, hopefully the mics are as hot that when that happens, Pat, as they were at the Eagles concert, because you can hear them like low level just snipping.
I'm
going to
kick your butt. I'm going to kick your butt.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious. Oh, rich rock stars are sad.
We don't often have hot mics in the workplace like that, Melissa, when people are having disputes.
And you hope not.
Yeah. And that, you know, we work around hot mics for a living here. Drake released Hotline Bling on this day in 2015. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline bling. Let's see, on the national calendar today, there's all these dog days. There's National Dog Day. There's National Puppy Day. Today is National Mutt Day.
Yeah.
So if you got a mutt, this is the day to celebrate your pooch.
I have always identified as a mutt.
Congratulations. There you are. Same here. Yes. That's right. Yep. This is Lifeguard Appreciation Day. Hey, trust me, every day is Lifeguard Appreciation Day. This is Park and Forest Ranger Day. It's National Avocado. This is a weird collection here. National Avocado Day, National Jelly Beans Day, National Raspberry Cake Day, National Shredded Wheat Day, and it's Harry Potter's birthday. Did you know it's Harry Potter's birthday?
I did not.
Yeah, he actually has a birth date, July 31st. And apparently all the characters do, and I would quiz you on that, but I'm running out of time. And
I do know it's very close to the actor's birthday.
Oh, Daniel Radcliffe?
Daniel Radcliffe, yep.
Oh, now I have something to look up there.
It was like a week ago or something.
Okay. Well, Melissa, welcome back from vacation. Thanks for starting the next part of the year with us. Have a wonderful week.
Yeah,
we'll talk
you
to you later on. Okay. Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio.